All right, back to Luke, chapter 10. Whatever you want. It was cool.
I'm about to restart this thing.
No problems.
Everybody gets to hear our air conditioning comments and lovely.
Lovely.
Very lovely. Yeah.
Clear air.
If you say the last 2 days, what it means to say the kingdom of God has come nigh or come unto you. There's one more scripture about that I want to go to. 2 Timothy. It's another one we've looked at a lot, but it just cemented into your mind. 2 Timothy. Verse 16. Shun profane.
Which chapter? 2 Timothy.
Chapter 2. Verse 16.
He didn't say it.
Shun profane and vain babbling. Can I repeat it again? Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Now, what is ungodliness? Ungodliness is any speech that isn't seasoned with salt, any thoughts that aren't from the mercy seat, from the wings of from the oracle of God. Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, or as cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Why does it overthrow the faith to say the resurrection is past already?
They're denying that Christ is now.
Right.
He is there.
And so they are left to their own devices and their minds, and they just have to do the best they can.
So were they believers?
Of course, this is two believers.
Yeah. So they're left with their own faith.
All right, let's go back. I just want you to do that. Let's go back to Luke. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways into the streets of the same, and say, now, this doesn't have any impact on us. We don't know what it means. But I say unto you that you'll be more tolerable. No, excuse me. Even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off or wipe against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you, or here unto you. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in that city for Sodom than for, and more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. This is getting pretty serious. That to shake the dust off your feet means that this evangelist, prophet, this apostle, he has come into the city, and by shaking the dust off his feet, he is saying to them, your time has passed. Now, that's what it means to shake the dust off your feet. Now, the reason it's that critical is because that's really the only way of repentance. But we don't do that. We wouldn't say that to anybody because we have no zeal. You have no zeal because the word hasn't been made flesh. It's still being worked out as a philosophy before it can come into your very being.
I think I understood probably in a deeper way the first time the kingdom of God has come unto you. It always seemed funny then. Yeah, it doesn't look like it. Is this a kingdom? You know, but the kingdom is because of Christ in you, what he sees.
Well, you have a new owner. It's just as black and white, and there's a clear line of the as long as your mindset is in the world, your God is the God of this world.
That's not the kingdom of God.
That's the kingdom of Satan. That he said it. He showed Jesus in a moment of time all the kingdoms of the world and all the glory thereof. And he said, all this is mine, and to whomsoever I will give it. Jesus didn't deny that. We don't see, so we just babble on. We've got time. Wait till this happens, then I'll do, then I'll be, then I'll believe. That's why we studied what we did back in the high place activity, because we are to live every day as if we were on the judgment seat. Well, that can't, that's too radical. Your very presence. You bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. The only way to do that isn't to partake of the vanity of this world. It's to talk, show it by your life. To pick up the cross is a word of shame. To be servants, or to be in this state of of humility called typanos, those were curse words. Staros, I think, is the cross, and typanos is what you become, either off scouring of all things. No. That's not our God. That's not what he's doing. Our God is a good God. That was the God of the Old Testament. Well, a manifestation of God in time said, go into the city. If they receive you not, shake the very dust off your feet. If you go into a household and say, peace be unto you, if the Son of Peace isn't there, that peace returns to you. Do we ever think about anything like that? We would never do anything that radical. Because number one, we want to avoid conflict. And number two, we don't believe it. Oh, maybe that's for an apostle, or that's for that guy over there to do, or that's an evangelist job, or that's a teacher, or perhaps that's somebody else. It gets worse. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, for unto thee, or unto thee, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon and at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me. He that despiseth you despiseth me. He that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. Let's look at a couple places of other dove dust. Let's go to Acts 13. No, this isn't what we say. We say the Bible is good news for modern man. We say Christians are champions. We have Christian businessmen and Christian radio and Christian television. Remember, the word Christian was, again, a term of law. Christians would never think of using that. It was a term of law that meant they were guilty of hating the world in the Roman Empire. Oh, that was for that time, not now. God was just in his transition period then. He was really an austere God that killed everybody before. Then he just was talking about this kind of stuff, but now he's a good God. Acts 13. Let's start in verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you, you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou should be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and many were ordained to eternal life, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region, or proclaimed, But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook the dust off their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. There are a few men like Paul. I got an email from a friend that his relative is in Kenya. And there were these unbelievable demonic activity. There was fetishes in every house. There were witch doctors that had become rich by showing him how to be wealthy and happy. And this guy, he went into that area, and one of the first people that heard was this woman who was just torn up with demons. And he simply said the word and they fled. She happened to be the sister of the local witch doctor. And they talked everything against him. They tried everything. The Lord protected him. And more people started to believe, and they held this huge bonfire. And it wasn't books that were burned. It was all these fetishes and idolatry, symbols of idolatry. And while that fire was burning, this witch doctor came, and all of a sudden he fell on the ground and he was writhing in pain. He did that for one day. And the evangelist went over and said to the demons, "Be gone." And they were gone. And he slept like a baby. Happy, peaceful, and the whole region became Christian. Now there, in that part of Kenya, it's been evangelized by the Muslims, and the Muslims don't care what witch doctors are there, etc. They care because they can. By making the leader or convincing the leader to become a Muslim, then by definition that whole country is Muslim in their minds. And it's not a matter of... Anyway, in this when this witch doctor woke up or came up the next day, he was praising Isa. Yeah, that's the Muslim word or Arabic word for Jesus. Now, can you imagine what would happen to one of our TV evangelists put in that place? The demon would say, "I know Paul. I know this guy over here. But who are you?" Because they're preaching blasphemy in the name of God. Now, somehow, some way, I don't know what else to do, we have got to have zeal in this community. That's a sign. All right. Let's go to Acts 22. Does anybody have any response to any of that? We don't have that kind of demon activity here, but it's just as evil.
Well, that story you told was a true story.
True story.
Recent?
It happened in May of this year.
Really?
All right. Acts 22. Now here is where Paul had been warned about coming back to Jerusalem. People saw that they saw him in bonds if he went back. Well, let's just start in verse 27. Well, first 26. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify current accomplishments of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. Now, why were they doing the 7 days of purification? Does anybody remember? You've studied this. Paul and these men, to my recollection, had taken the vow, the Nazarite vow. And so at the end of the vow, they had that to go through the process in the temple of purification. These were still Christians. These were Christian Jews.
So what's the answer? You ask, why did they have to take the purification?
Because that's the law of the Nazarite vow. You had to go through the purification ceremony at the end of the 7 days, so however many days you took the vow. And watch. We started in verse 22. I just wanted to go back a little bit. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on them, crying out, "Men of Israel, help. This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place. And further, Greeks also into the temple hath brought Greeks into the temple and hath polluted the holy place. For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took the soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And they, when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left off beating of Paul. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing and some another among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he came up the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. He was carried. For the multitude of the people followed after him, crying, "Away with him." And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, "May I speak unto thee? Who said, canst thou speak Greek? Art thou not that Egyptian which before these days madest, madest an uproar and leddest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murdered. And Paul said, I am a man, which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city. And I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with a hand unto the people. And with a hand unto the people, excuse me, and when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in Hebrew tongues, saying, My brethren and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in Hebrew tongue to them, they kept more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as you all are this day. And I persecuted the way unto the I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. And also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elder, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went into Damascus to bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem to be for punishment. Now, I just wanted you to hear this is the process. Then he went ahead with his story of of his conversion. Now, and in verse 17, and it came to pass when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, and was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believe on thee. And when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I was also standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air. And then, since he was a Jew, then they took him to Rome. But it's not, I wanted you to reread that to see that everybody knew what it meant to cast dust off. And what's when the Jews said at his crucifixion, let his blood be upon us, it was over. And here just predicted its overness. Now, that's why now in this new kingdom, the Jews even have a chance, because it has nothing, no, there's no more Jew. There's no more Gentile. There's no more Presbyterian or Baptist. There's no more Muslim, no more nations. It's a new creature, a new creation that has no reference to the old one. That's what we can't get in our heads. That's why we don't have zeal. Well, that's Dust 101. Now, you know, many people's response is, well, I can't do that. I'm not empowered to do that. I can't speak these words to other people. Try it.
talks about you open your mouth and God will fill it. It's not something that you just have.
My people are willing in the day of his power. Consider these things. Take it, big guy.